Now, here's a scenario. Thomas is a playwright and director who's had an absolutely lousy day. He's been running auditions, trying to cast the part of the dominatrix in his new show, Venus in Furs, and it's very late. He just wants to go home when in blusters Vonda, who convinces him to let her read for the part, and the whole thing soon gets, well, it soon gets sexually very charged as she bends him to her will. This show premiered 8 years ago in New York, and it was an absolute hit. In fact, the lead actress won a Tony for her performance. It's by veteran US playwright David Ives, and it's now playing in Canberra, directed by Caroline Stacey. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Michael. Great to be here.
Welcome to the show. And it stars Joanna Richards. Hi, Jo.
Hi, Michael.
And Craig Alexander.
G'day, Michael.
Who play Vonda and Thomas. And just be aware, listener, that this show does deal with some very confronting sexual themes. Caroline, the publicity for this calls the play sexy and provocative. It says it's about deeply complex relationships. What in a nutshell do you think this is all about? What's the three-line pitch?
I think the play is a rebellion that has more to say about power than any classic S&M scenario. You know, it's not getting your shoe kissed that makes you a strong character. It's having agency in your own story.
So it starts with Vonda showing up late for this audition with first-time director Thomas, and he's adapted an erotic novel for the stage. Now, this is an actual novel.
That's right. It's the classic 1870 novel by Sacher-Masoch, Venus in Furs, which has been made into numerous films and numerous sort of printed publications. And yes, the character of Thomas, who is a playwright, has decided to adapt the work. And I think even, you know, David Ives making that choice in the story, the sense of why choose that novel, really sort of starts to unpick that process through very sort of theatrical constructs like an audition where a director and an actress meet to cast a part.
In an audition, there is a power imbalance because there's a director who's has all the power over who gets the part and so on. And there are these actors and actresses who want to get a gig. So already you've got one person with a lot of power and one person who hasn't got anything. But in this story, the whole power balance is shifted pretty quickly. Am I reading it correctly?
Yeah. You've got the play itself, and then there's a play within a play. And through characters and role-playing, much like actually in terms of the lens of S&M, the sort of scening that goes on there, you have the notion of domination and submission and where true power lies unpicked in every possible way.
Yes, because what happens in this play is that Vonda and Thomas start reading the play with each other, and they get more and more carried away by the roles they're entering into, with her as the dominatrix and he as the submissive one, so that most of the play that you watch is actually them performing this other play. So this playwright had to write effectively two plays.
The playwright has actually effectively written, I actually think, three, maybe four plays. What is interesting in it is that essentially boundaries are set up very clearly with these first two characters. And as we move through the work, there's a lot of slippage. And in fact, there are many points where you can't tell what play you're in, what character is inhabited and embodied. The question at the end is, you know, does Thomas, playwright director, actually reveal his true nature to himself and to her?
At the heart of what you're arguing is an assumption that in a sadomasochistic relationship, one learns fundamental truths about oneself, that this is a sort of reason for going there. Is that the assumption you're working off as you describe what you think of the psychological dynamics in the play?
Well, I think the play uses the lens of S&M, but it really looks at how power can be played out both with consent and without consent in every possible dimension. The notion of where consent lies is also unpicked in the play. And there are components in it where the notion of of the person that submits actually having more power than the person that dominates is explored. Thomas has imagined submission in a very particular way, and he gets it, but not in the way that he imagined at all.
Joanna and Craig, we should hear a scene. What are you going to perform for us?
This is a scene, actually, a little bit further on into the piece where the kind of boundaries that Caroline mentioned are actually starting to blur a lot more. So we're doing a moment from the play within the play and kind of the effects that has on the real characters outside of the play within the play.
This scene very much attacks the heart of the themes at the play in terms of trying to actually decide what stories are told about you and have some power in that way.
All right, take it away and just remember, listener, that this is a pretty confronting sexual material.
You want to look the scene over?
No. Severin, no, no, no. It's not right. All this talk of subjugation and slavery, you've corrupted me with all your talk.
I believe that in your heart of hearts you would enjoy controlling a man.
No.
You might even enjoy torturing him.
No.
Admit your nature.
It's not my nature.
See what your nature is, or change your nature.
Can I not make you be reasonable?
It's not reason that I'm after. You said you would forgo no possible experience.
And you would have me eat my words.
I'd have you prove you meant them.
Severin, don't you see? Don't you understand you'll never be safe in the hands of a woman? Of any woman. Now this part is so sexist it makes me like scream.
It's not sexist. What's sexist about it?
You'll never be safe in the hands of a woman?
That is from the book.
I don't care what it's from. It's sexist. The whole thing's really kind of trite when you think about it.
What's trite?
He gets spanked one day and bingo, he's into whips and chains.
Apparently it happened to Sacher Masoch.
Did it happen to you?
No.
So how do you know?
To me, this play is about two people who are joined irreparably. They're handcuffed at the heart.
Yeah, joined by his kink.
No, by their passion.
His passion.
You're denying her passion. That's sexist too. She's as passionate as he is, and the play's about how these two passions collide.
What age are you living in? He brings her into this, and then she's the one who gets to look bad. She's the villain.
There are no villains in this piece. It's a plea for people to understand that. This is a chemical reaction. Two people meet and ignite each other. It's not making some general statement about men or women.
Sex, class, gender, pal.
It's about a woman who recognizes something in herself, possibly, and about a man who, until he meets her, is forced to hide his true self away.
Yeah, this prig.
Why are you putting him down like this?
She's this very nice, this innocent person who comes wandering in.
You don't understand. You don't understand.
She says you've corrupted me.
Is she innocent? Or was this desire for domination always there? Maybe Kashemsky just brings it out of her.
Yeah, maybe she's just a woman. This is like some old Victorian Teutonic tract against Thus Female. He forces her into a power play and then he blames her.
That's not it at all. That's not what this play is about
and
at all.
And the play blames her.
It doesn't blame her.
You don't see that?
How does it blame her?
It's blaming her on every page, in every line.
Craig Alexander and Joanna Richards there with that scene from Venus in Fur, and they're in the studio in Canberra along with Caroline Stacey, who's the director of the play. And I must say, you kept those cues very nice and tight. Yeah. Caroline's obviously been cracking her whip to make sure that you have nice tight cues. Joanna, what do you think Vanda wants? I mean, she comes in presenting herself as a bumbling, washed-up actress. By the second half, she's running the show. She knows a whole lot more about everything than she lets on when she comes in. What does she want?
From my perspective, playing Vanda, I believe that she seeks to extricate herself from the narrative surrounding women and the way that women are written. And she wants to challenge this writer to be accountable for how he has written the woman within his play. But funnily enough, it's the fact that she is inextricable from the way that women have been written, which really motivates her and gives her her power. So it's this strange cyclical relationship for her.
And what does he want, Craig?
There's something about Thomas where there's a clear desire for a more rich and a life operatically lived. And this play is almost his grasp into the world to achieve that. And so when Vanda shows up to audition for his character in the play, it sparks a kind of desire to really go there and go and live the life that he's, that deep down he's kind of been repressing for some time.
I suppose the big question that you must have been asked several times is, why are you doing it now? Because we're at a moment where power imbalances and sexual exploitation have been so sensitive, so controversial, such a form of anxiety and discussion in the theatre, such a form of self-examination, I guess. And in this play, the woman takes control, but you've still got a relationship in which there is a sexual imbalance. So you are in that territory. You can see why this play could be misread.
I would actually say that this play is very important for now, because especially in the context of the Time's Up movement, which is about forcing people to take accountability for their actions, this play really looks at the narratives around women and how it affects women and how it feeds into this power imbalance. And I think although we do see power dynamics explored, and although we do see a big switch in who has control and who has power throughout the play, I don't think it's as simplistic as saying that in the space of 90 minutes, a woman can use sex, desire, and danger to take complete power in a situation where she is definitely at a lower level than the director. So I think it is important because Vanda challenges this idea about who has power and about especially how sexual dynamics and power dynamics within that kind of context exist and how that serves those within those relationships.
Michael, I'd also say that, the work itself, it's highly theatrical in all of the devices that it uses. And so when I'm sitting there watching a rehearsal and Joe is in dominatrix boots but playing a submissive servant, and those boots that are highly sexualized in most imagery and places we see are suddenly reduced to something that is not sexualized at all. It's full of surprises, including actually the questions you might ask yourself around how we actually make theatre and tell stories in this country.
Well, thanks to all three of you for coming in. You've given us great insight into the kind of thinking that goes into putting a play together in the rehearsal room. And I'd love to hear from you. If you're in Canberra and you've seen the show, you can comment on our website and talk to us about how the play worked for you. Is this the way you experienced the play? Let us know. Joanna Craig and Caroline, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The show is Venus in Fur. It's by David Eyes and it stars Joanna Richards and Craig Alexander, directed by Caroline Stacey. It runs until the 2nd of September at the Street Theatre, which is on Childers Street in Canberra. You're on The Hub with Michael Cathcart. This is RN.